Well, according to the Evergreens, what Jesus did was change karma so that you never had to come into this life with, you know, a mother was a hooker, a father was a drug addict, your sister beat you up, your brother raped you, the guy next door tried to hang you every week. You know, you would not take on more than you could possibly handle.
And the limitation of that idea was that there is karma. Ion comes in and says there is no karma. There is the analogical relationship of proportions of you accepting and judging yourself with certain ideas that you have. You do it to yourself. But there's no karma with anybody else.
Or you having portions of yourself in other existences and other lifetimes. Portions of yourself,
right.
Not lives.
That's right. Wouldn't happen. Right. That would be the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not have karma. Because you can.
Ooh, very good.
To ascend, you have to drop karma completely.
And you also have to drop the idea of ascending. Remember, Ion said a week or two ago, there are no little men, Bob. You must start telling them that. That's the new message.
I'm starting to believe that this has already happened, and I'm a future entity who kind of plugged myself into a machine to relive what's happened.
This like the Matrix? Okay, well,
these
things can be cleared up. Well, welcome aboard, Ion. Have you heard anything we've said?
Well, let's just get it right. You don't even have a working definition. First of all, karma means action, work, or deed, or referring to a principle of casualty where intent and actions of an individual influence the future of that individual. How absolutely ridiculous. Good intent and good deed contribute to good karma and future happiness, while bad intent and bad deed contribute to bad karma and future suffering. How very ridiculous.
That's why we stopped paying attention to karma, because people wanted to blame why they are where they are now.
Well,
on
then, you stir that in with a little dogma, and you're really in the soup.
What puts karma out the door is the understanding of the Ten Commandments that you shared with us.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
proof enough that karma is just a complete waste of energy.
It's no different than William Shakespeare's fatalism. They have a whole religion. Primitive Baptists believe that what is to be will be, which means it's already set that it is. So if you're a drunk, you're going to be a drunk. If you're an idiot, you're going to be an idiot. So, okay. It's fatalism.
Either that or the devil made me do it.
Cliff Wilson, yeah, that's right, that's right.
That's what I heard growing up. The Baptist minister turned out to be a pedophile, or the minister ran away with the organist, and a whole list of things. Oh, the devil made them do it. So.
No, they had a big organ. That's why they ran away together. And many people played the big organ religiously.
So the fact that the neutrino is everything's already happened, the Baptist idea is a crude literalization of the fact a lot has happened.
You're still gauging conditions on a linear flat plane. Time is not linear. We say time doesn't exist, but we say timing is everything. You see, it's not flat. It's not a flat piece of paper. It is not linear. And anytime you're trying to explain it from a linear standpoint, you're always going to end up in this trap of soup of a knot that goes to a knot that goes to a knot that goes to a knot.
Well, Ion, the first image would be a sphere, and then you would make it a dodecahedron. What would be various images of what you're trying to say non-time is?
Take each angle in a dodecahedron. It's infinite. You can always divide it like half-lines, and it goes infinite. That infinite angle, the angular representation for its degrees, now it's a whole new modality which allows you to say, oh, wait, at this degree, the trajectory is this. At this degree, the trajectory is this. And all you do is just adjust and adjust.
That's the analogical proportionality of Thomas Aquinas that I was trying to come up with. So you're giving the mathematization of that.
Even your other little buddy, Pynchon, kind of hits it, trying to lay out this conspiracy side of how all these conspiracies can coincide.
He said Pynchon, but he means Pynchon. That's right. He was a math student at Cornell or whatever. He knew his math and his information theory. That's right. He mathematizes what you just said and what McLuhan meant by the acoustic space and the sphere.
What nobody's taking into is the gravitational linear plane. the gravitational linear plane. The more you bump into something up close, the more dire it is. It's kind of like, I'm in a hurry, my birthday, Christmas never comes. Then when it gets here, it lasts for a second. Fleeting, gone. But you wait all year and it never comes. And then it's there and it's gone. Your perception of the gravitational pull of time speeding up and slowing down, you can control. And if you could just get past the linear side of it, all this other stuff just becomes for fun.
The part of the reason I evoked Ion is that I understood the linearity of gravity via McLuhan. He's very good on that point.
He's okay explaining it, but he sucked at doing it.
What I think I heard you say, Ion, was you interchanged the word time with trajectory.
That's how we're able to triangulate.
And then trajectory is seeing the place from where it starts and seeing the direction.
So whoa. Slow up. Take your one-inch pipe or the hula hoop on the wall, put the magic marker to the hula hoop and roll it around the wall. And you start making logarithms, and those rhythms repeat. And the amplitude at which they repeat then gives you a cycle. The cycle is what you're trying to explain. And you're saying where you pitch or yaw within that angle, do you want to call it a rhythm?
The eye bias, which is trying to show beyond the eye bias, is what you're saying. Do you smell this situation? How do you bring in the other senses?
You start feeling it when you have a clump or you get in a room where you have this clicking and your heart rhythm changes to match that ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. And that's how you feel it. Or in a smelling situation, it becomes the way cookies make you feel once you smell the cookies baked in the oven. It's our apples and cinnamon, those warm, toasty comfort food thingies. They will draw you into a place, not the other way around.
The angel diagram is the only non-visually biased charting of what you just described, the proprioceptive balancing. It's the closest to mathematizing it, even though it's visual.
Well, yes, and it needs to have spin. But they're working on that to give it dimension. It'll help because then the lotus flower can open.
Hi, Ion, it's Susanna. You say the feeling place, and you mentioned the feeling that you have when you're smelling the aroma of cookies baking, is that the same as emotion?
No, it is not emotion. Emotion is what that causes. Sometimes you can smell it. If your grandma used to make them and she's dead, it makes you cry. It'll remind you of her, and then that can set an emotion.
The emotion is the angle on it.
That's the pitch that particular trajectory took you. But then you can overcome it, you see. Or then you can say, no, these are tears of joy. Well, you're still crying, regardless of how you see them.
And emotions are degrees of separation as well. Because is that why you say, get happy or get out? Because anything other than happiness is a separation further and further.
Well, but see, here's what happens. Here's what happens if you're not careful. You'll start following this path, and the next thing you know, the paranoia sits in, and then the paranoia sits in, and then you can't stand it. Then all of a sudden, anybody's out to get you, and everybody's out to get you. Or everybody's in your environment, everybody that's around you, they're out to get you, too. And then you don't feel so good because everybody's out to get you. You don't fit in your own world. So then you build yourself a great big castle, and you move into it, and you lock the door. And you can't get in, you can't get out, but you can't be there because you don't really be there because that's not where you really want to be. Because they know where you are there, you're in the great big castle. And they know where they are, you are, and they're coming to get you. Then what happens is you've isolated yourself in such a place that there is no place to spin. You can't toil. You can't spin. You're sunk, as it were. And that comes back to you setting the motion of your catatonic emotional ramification plunger, the emotional plunger. The pressure that can cause can make you do very strange and, we think, ridiculous things. But it passes. That's the good news of it, is it passes.
It passes because...
You play out.
I don't know what you mean by that.
You play out. You go through and you go, wait, that's sucked. I don't like that. Let's do it a different way. And then you do it again. You lather, rinse, repeat. Till you get tired of leather and something, you either come and you face the fire or you get out. It's all good. And it's fun because you're still so powerful you're able to do that. wonderful that you are so powerful that you can screw up this horribly and still survive. It's astounding.
This is Katerina. You just came in, right?
Yeah. Hey, guys. How you doing? My question is specific to the cell membrane versus the nucleus. We're talking about RNA drops and how they affect the perfect expression of the DNA or creating these perfect cells. And my question is, it's been found, at least more recently by Bruce Lipton, that we can cut out the nucleus of the cell that we've been deeming the brain of the cell for so long, and the cell will continue to live for about 2 to 3 days, except when we lyse or we cut the cell membrane, the cell dies automatically.
There's no peptide to bind to anymore. You sever the peptide, the ability of the space for the cell to be. You basically, you anatomically take its ability to have the space where it contained out. That's why it dies.
Yeah, so it would seem that the cell membrane would have more priority over the nucleus.
Yeah. Until you get new RNA to give it new information that allow those rings and arms to attach and or be, that's the way to say that is to be, then you can then start the process of coming back to your place as God in perfect cellular strata.
Is there a way that we should be focusing more or less on the membrane? For myself, just a quick background of my story, going through my own personal journey of healing, at one point I performed autologous stem cell infusions, and the stem cell infusions, they were taken from my blood, so it was my own blood that was taken out, spun, grown extra stem cells in the lab, and then reinfused back into me. And what had happened was I got a million times more sicker, and it completely hit my nervous system, and my brain just got fried. I started having insomnia, anxiety.
Because you were now spinning out the cells in your plasma, whole plasma, you were taking the blood, say the blood of the lamb, if that's what you want to call it, and feeding it to the lamb. They don't feed well on their own blood. Here's why. Because the information that you're giving is that the cells that you're replacing are worse than the cells that you have. So you set off an immediate antibiotic battle. It was to replace those cells, not to enhance them. So your body just started a war, and your probably your CBC went crazy, and your albumin went low, and your hypothalamus went crazy, and you were chills and hots and colds and over and under and everything a rabbit can do to a stump, and your body was just basically revolting.
Right. My thyroid went from hyper to hypo, and I literally almost died. It was really intense, and I'm still trying to find my way out of it.
But so great is because you were able to survive. That's good.
Yeah, exactly.
You find out the part that'll kill you, back it off just a little bit. It's good.
It brought me more into my own power, into not.
Now, what happens is you find out the value of your cells, and you find out that the space between the nucleus and the perimeter, and that's all the rings and the rings on your eye, angel diagram is thorough with all that. We've gone voluminous on those exact details, but you have to parse those back into the etymology of your cellular knowing. Your problem is you know too much, so you got to dim that down a little bit and start embracing a larger conceptual view that it will allow you to see this nucleotide insert at a different level.
One thing that was really strange with the stem cell infusion, what it did to me physically, was that before doing the stem cells, I started living this fearless life where I wasn't afraid to die. I wasn't afraid to be living in, you know, this this less than body that, you know, people were talking about. I had this complete connection to God where I can feel him, and I felt empowered all the time to the point where I would paint and draw from bed for hours. I just made this miraculous artwork that I just didn't even know I had the talent of creating. And after the stem cells, it's like I lost that connection to God. I couldn't feel him anymore.
It's not a feeling, but you became it. When you have it, you don't want it. When you have something, you don't want it.
Was that polarity?
No, that's moving the poles further out. But not exactly here, because your body's going to compensate always. It's going to recompensate and compensate back and forth, back and forth, back and forth every time. When you push it, it's going to respond. It has a bit of an elastic position,
which we see in the water and nature. That's the main dynamic in the non-physical nature.
Build a dam and the whole wide world moves to break that dam. It's what it's about.
Yeah, let's go into this a little bit. When Katerina says she had that marvelous connection with God. I mean, we think that you're talking about an external God, Katerina, so that's, you know, that's not connected enough to yourself.
It just concentrated the power that she already had, and her body in a less than state allowed that to shine, where otherwise she had it, and so it would become just a normal function.
Then you said when you have it, you don't want it, but she wanted it, and then she lost it with the stem cell infusion.
She didn't lose it. Ah. It just became softened. It became softened.
She wanted it out of a lack. Katerina, quote, made the mistake of thinking that she didn't have it and had to be in bed and paint to feel that she got it.
Well, it was the only expression she made available, so it concentrated it. Good.
For me, I think the key here was I came into my power through my illness.
No, you did not. You used your weakness to catapult yourself into a larger space. You made more room for you. That's what you actually did. There's a difference.
Yeah, so I have this power that, you know, I'm innately born with. I'm ascended when I'm born.
Everybody is, honey. That's not special. Everybody is. You're just connection. You're connecting to a place where you can then come back into that place of power. That's all you're trying to do. You have a little bit more tactility of an experience, but it's not that odd. The same way when you cut off a finger, it'll bleed till you stop the blood, and then once you get that together, you can grow another finger. A lot of people do.
I felt like I was able to express myself on my highest level in those moments of weakness.
It's because it's concentrated. Your less than-ness drew you into a more than place. But you're no more now than you were then. You're no less now than you were then. The largeness of you hasn't filled the space. That's all.
If we're taking more of a physical sense, how then is...
Okay,
the
it's this way. You take oxygen and you compress it in a tank. It's highly pressurized. It's concentrated, as it were. And you take that into a large room where you are to be, and you release all that oxygen in the room. That's the same amount of oxygen that was in that tank, is it not? But now it's dispersed throughout the whole room and stirred into the soup of all it is, into what you call the atmosphere. But it's in the atmosphere in that tank, is it not?
Yeah.
Okay. We don't like oxygen. We think it's terrible. It oxidizes. It ruins you. But, I mean, minus staph infection, giving you new dermis. I mean, but people don't like staph infection, but you couldn't live without it. The point is, RNA gives that new information and allows your atmosphere to be larger. Once your atmosphere is larger, it's out of the sack, then your body can respond and capitulate as it naturally would.
Okay, so if we had to physically compare the stem cell infusions to RNA creating perfect cells or stem cells...
You can't. You can't, because the stem cell process... Oh, by the way, your president says you don't do that, by the way. That's always great fun. But anyhow, even cord blood and some of those different things that you're taking from the what you call the neutrino essence of a quintessential aspect of cellular ramification, what you're talking about here is you're taking and ripping a cell to make it work. You can't do that. It won't be perfect. It can't be perfect because the premises were flawed. If you have to change a cell to make it perfect, then you're ruined.
Ion, when you mentioned about the blood of the lamb, when the blood was taken from Katerina, you mean they're kind of ripping the blood and making it different and then putting it back? That changed everything?
Yes, they spun it out.
Yeah, they changed the electrical conductivity of it or something?
No, it's not that. To explain it makes it a whole other thing, because now you're talking about plasma, and you're talking about spinning out the platelets and then how the platelets react within whole plasma, and how those cells react in plasma and out of plasma, how those are in platelets and out of platelets. The cardiochondria, two different words put together, affect the base of how those cells now can respond. The same way you catch cancer and you make a perfect cancer cell that supposedly does you in, it's the same exact same thing. You turn the oxygen loose. Oh, if you have that, you'll get mesothelioma. If you have asbestos in your room, they say great.
With my issues, like my present issues for the moment after this whole craziness, it's been about 3 years since, and I'm still trying to kind of pull myself out of what happened. But currently, my body's stronger, except my brain is so heavily impacted. When I say that,
good.
I mean, yeah,
good.
Like my brain
good.
Just feels frying
not,
all the time.
It's not good. See, it's not that not serving. You let it do the autonomic thing. It's doing those great. You don't have to think about breathing, and you can't anymore. That's great. That's great. Okay. Lather, rinse, repeat. Do it you like it. Do it again. Don't do it anymore. Do something else. Continue. The next thing you know, you won't notice. That's what you're
right.
asking.
How can we focus on healing the brain and the nerves?
Take a Louisville slugger and beat the pulp out of it. Bash it in. Take it all the way to the white meat. It's good.
Has Katarina's brain focus changed because she's a scientist? Is the fried part something that she doesn't require anymore?
She never did. It didn't help her. She's brighter now than she was then. She now goes back and they hand her just volumes of stuff, and she goes, this is nothing. This is what we're talking about. And she somehow now can go directly to the point and says, no, it's not about the nucleus. It's not the nucleotide. It's the ring around it. It's the barrier. It's the elemental part that holds the space around the electrons that bind within the cellular strata that tell it to reproduce or not.
After this whole thing happened, I stopped giving my power away to doctors. And what I did was I tried to focus as much as I could on healing myself. And I started coming into my own power and realizing... Okay. Well, my whole life, I actually wanted to be a doctor. Well, that's in a worldly sense,
we're
but more
sorry.
Or less a healer. I wanted
to be... Babe Ruth was the best healer ever. He would lay them out. He's great. He's great. Just get that bat and bash him in his skull. They'll lay down. They'll heal every time. Get him right.
I keep realizing I need to live from the agenda of my soul.
Don't rip for the stenographer, honey. The stenographer's going to keep track of it for you. Don't have to make sure they get it all down, right? They don't get it. They won't miss a thing. Every unrealized creation you'll ever have, it already is noted. It's just waiting on you to create them or not. That's all. Let's do it a different way. Trip ye not.
It's so hard because
you're making it be a thing. Relax.
Yeah.
Allow. Move lather, rinse, repeat. You'll be all right.
I think that's the question. Like, what do you do when you're in this constant emergency mode where you're in this violent pain constantly?
You want pain gone? You can get the right and right, but then you don't feel nothing. Don't complain about pain. It's what keeps you out of the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Pain's okay. Figure out what's causing the pain. What is it that I'm ushering myself to from a pain standpoint?
I think that's it.
If you can make it go away, you can dull it, you can move it. Anything that hurts, we can cut it off. That'd be nice.
Yeah, Katarina, you use the word soul. We define the soul as stenographer. That's just recording what your experiences are or aren't. That's
oh,
all. So you meant your essence. When your essence goes some, I don't know, to divinity, they use that word, not soul, when Ion's around. So when
okay.
you re-listen to this, he's talking about the definition of the stenographer soul.
Mm-hmm. So for me, my own essence, I feel it to be in sheer love.
Love is just a force field, so if you include it in your space, it's held. If you don't allow it in your space, it is excluded. So, good.
Oh, love is just a force field. Every word you're going to say, Katarina, will be demolished by Ion. It will, and you stay with it. You can refute as much as you want, but Ion will stay with its words, and you're not sick, you're not in pain, or it's not a problem. All these things you're defining yourself, Ion's going to undermine. Or he's going to say it's good. What you think is a problem,
right.
He's saying it's great.
I actually do deeply believe that everything that's happening to me is exactly how it should be, and that it is all good. It's just, in the moment when you're in the fire, how do you physically, you know...
How very fatalistic of you, do you see?
Yeah.
You're now giving space for that terrible thing that you don't want around you to be and giving it a reason to be so you can then purge yourself into this higher plane of existence or something. They say, wait a minute, hold on just a minute. Bullshit. Yeah, that's how that goes.
Wow. There's so many things that we can concentrate on the physical body, on the spiritual body, on these different kind of levels. And, you know, it's really great to have our minds on a certain plane and be thinking a certain way so we can stay.
You put your preschoolers in a pen to keep them at bay. You're trying to get out of the playpen. You don't want to get in tighter. You're trying to get out of the car seat. You're not trying to get them bound tighter. You're saying, if you bind me up tighter, I'll figure it all out. Honey, you haven't figured it out yet. You've been tied as Dick's hat band. Let go. Let go. It'll be all right. Let go. We say tie, let go, and you're 6 inches off the ground. It's like all this mess.
Katerina, what's useful about you is that you bring in scientific jargon, which I want to hear and watch Eye on the Counter to find it. So bring up another technical question. We do have Sasha, Brian, and a lot of the old-timers here, but if you can come up with some more technical questions.
Old-timers, isn't that
old-timers.
Y'all been farming long in the old-timers.
Okay, don't get distracted by it, Katerina. Go ahead.
If you look at the brain, is a superconductor.
It most certainly is not.
I'd like to know why.
It's just plumbing. It's a labyrinth. It's a labyrinth. It allows you to file things away. The frontal cortex and then the frontal lobe, then you have short-term and long-term, and everything else has been split between the nervous system and how your body responds to all those nerves. It's a D1. It's a DID block of a T1 line that lays your Cat 5 all over your body. So when you pick your nose, you know if you made it or not. That's all.
In my second session, when I was having consternation over the labyrinth of the mind, I just listened to the session today.
Yay.
He said to me, when we were speaking to Carolyn about this, and I missed this until today. You said we told Carolyn to move herself into a geographic point at which she can view the labyrinth of the mind. And then you use the whole analogy of the mouse and the cheese. Is this applicable in this situation?
It certainly is. And here's another little caveat to add to it. Because you've always heard that the early bird gets the worm, right? But the second mouse gets the cheese.
The second mouse gets the cheese.
Right. Sometimes it's not so good to be so early.
So the other two Jesus were the second mouse, and the third Jesus who got killed was the first mouse.
Well, the first one got the worm. That's right.
Well, that all depends if the cheese is in a trap or not.
It always is in a trap. You won't have it any other way.
Yeah, but specifically to what Katerina's talking about, it sounds somewhat similar to what you were saying to me in my session about the fact that the thinking process is too expanded and to kind of get out of the mind and never mind.
If you can teach yourself to think how to think, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But you don't do that. You think about thinking, but you don't think. You're thinking about
things.
That's the difference.
Can you define your definition of thinking?
Yeah, autonomic. Everything is autonomic. Okay. It's autonomic. It feels right. I'm going with it. You don't think about it. You know.
You said specifically you move yourself to a different geographic point to overlook the labyrinth of the mind. And you're very literal about that.
Yeah, of course. Change your horizon. Change your horizon. Sometimes it makes it so much easier because then you don't have a bias that you have to keep up to. Oh, I can't look over there. I'm not trying to get it over, but all my beautiful stems.
Sasha, any position is a geography. It's not like move myself to the top of the mountain. Move your nucleus over to another point. That's a geographical position. To be that tiny.
Right, but that's what I was trying
industry.
To say, was Ion speaking metaphorically, which Ion doesn't usually, so I was trying to get the definition of when Ion was saying move yourself geographically to a different position. Is that
would help.
Metaphorical.
No, that's why people leave their homes every day. They go to another position in the town.
But specifically related to the labyrinth of the mind, that's you move to a different position.
The mind
position
is filing.
Y'all build this up, we'll return.
Okay, so we work on that. He's saying he'll be back in a minute.
Yep.
Welcome back, Ion.
We've been here all along.
Okay, well, your phone number just showed up.
Well, maybe we hit star five and we raised our hand. Maybe that's
it. Dorothy, I've never seen that. She never does do that when you think of it.
Ian, can you explain the difference between Ormus water being classified as the living water as opposed to or in conjunction to RNA drops? People are claiming that Ormus water is the living water.
Yeah, it's not alive. That's how you tell.
So Ormus being this gold water, so to speak, that these alchemists for years try to create, people, there is one specific person who divinely was brought to this water and had to dig in a specific place and dug, I don't know how many miles, and hit this little cove, so to speak, and pulled out this water. And this water has just been healing people miraculously. And it's being sold, and it was very difficult to come by. But the long and short of it is it was biblically brought to her where she claims that angels told her to dig in a specific spot. And she claims it's the living water. How can we explain this, or is this even real? Is it sense?
Biblically, the reference. Angels don't posthumously go biblically to prove the point of futuristically this hole in the middle of the road where you can get goldish water that bust bashes your skull in with a baseball bat. But we don't have a problem with gold. We like gold. If you more you refine it when you get it to where it's clear or transparent, that's a gold more we revere. It's nice and pure enough you can actually drink it or your body can absorb it. But we don't have an issue with having Goldschlager and all kinds of gold in your body. It's not a problem. You can do isotopes of gold, too, that are pretty fun, even in that are pretty hot because it's very close to the lead, see.
When they made the golden calf, right, Baal, and when they destroyed Baal, that golden calf, was that gold clear? Because they talked about them drinking the molten gold.
No. God melted that gold with electricity, with lightning,
yeah,
and made it liquefied. It wasn't clear, but it was liquefied, and it went down their throat holes.
Which God?
You.
The God of Moses, or Moses is God?
Okay, it basically, yes, the same thing. That brings you, the one that brings you back the closest to your position as God. So we don't want to get hung up on a derisional position of Yahweh. We're not going to play that trick.
Mm-hmm.
It's bringing back to you, okay? And when Moses was separated, obviously, and the bones of Joseph left Egypt with them in the ark, which actually held that transposed power, to allow the little man to remember how to get to the cross with the rings and the arms to get back to God. So from that position, you could say that was the first Orme induction, was from those who were not on the Lord's side. Choose you this day. Who's on the Lord's side? Move over here or stay right there. And the ones that stayed got to drink the gold. So maybe you could parallel that to here. If you want to stay here, drink the gold, and we'll see how it works for you. Did that debunk your gold things?
I'm still a little confused. My brain's trying to compartmentalize everything where I'm thinking gold is a superconductor. And
it's not a superconductor. It's not. A superconductor must be grounded. Gold, you can't ground. That's the problem with gold. Even if you take it into the nth degree, you can't contaminate gold. See, gold is gold.
If this is a gold water, it's a whole different state.
It makes no difference. It most certainly is not. It most certainly is not. Gold is gold. If you atomize it, it's still gold.
The gold's already in our body. The gold that we're utilizing, this refined gold as clear as crystal. And you talked about how the gold cannot be changed or manipulated. Does that have to do with the commandment of thou shall not commit adultery?
No. We says you can't commit adultery.
That's right.
You can't commit adultery.
But that's what I hear you saying about the gold. You cannot change it.
Well, you can't, but the point is, that this gold issue is a non sequitur as far as ascension goes. We don't care whatever motions you come up with to make you feel better. If it does good, drop a tab of acid. It's gold water too, if that makes you feel better. But ascension is a very different conversation than living water. And if you search the scriptures very closely with the difference between shewbread and living water, it's very different. There's no gold in any ramification of the water in which you may you never thirst.
Does the music play a major role in the ascension process?
It can. It sure can. It overloads your sensory mind, where it superimposes the lines and spaces, allow for a visual construct. When you're listening to a piece of music, sometimes you get lost in it, and it breaks time. Listening to Bob will bore you to death sometimes, and that breaks time, too.
When you talk about overlaying, when I sing certain songs, and I know we can't fool the universe, so it's just a song. By me repeating it aloud, am I messing up? Like, say if I'm saying something negative in the song, it's a song, but I am speaking it aloud. So am I?
Yeah, burn, motherfucker. Let the motherfucker burn. Go ahead. It's all right. I'll be fresh as hell when the feds watching. Yeah, go right ahead. Get it right. Get it right. Get you some busted rhymes on there, baby. To get you right.
Am I messing up my ascension by doing that, by speaking negative?
Most certainly not. It is not negative. You create. It's nothing wrong with that. It's an expression. Embrace it. If you're not a motherfucker, you want to be. So go ahead. See, the gangsters don't mind it. They're like, let's get real. Get it real. Everybody's so pied in their ascension process. Come on. It just get cut through the crap. It is what it is. Embrace it. Nice. Then you get done with it, and you may change that. But what kind of God would it be that would limit you from being able to sing you some Kanye? The music has helped Lil Wayne. He was a nothing up until then.
That's the truth.
For sure.
Fuck Lil Wayne. Fuck Lil Wayne.
It's great. Because see, they come in, and what happens though, you see, in that tactile expression, they buck. And if it means for you to ascend, for you to buck, sometimes you have to do that to say, you know, enough. Do what you're going to do. Do it quickly. That's what Jesus said. Go with God. Jesus said, go on. Get on with it. Do it. Do it. Stop talking about it. Do it. And what you find out is it takes all the heat out of the fire. And then it's okay. And then you move on. And then you let the rich repeat. And then they make a new disaster for you to cipher up. So, yeah, head up, but be good at it. But now, you need to get auto-tuned, though. We don't care what words you're saying. But some of this god-awful off-pitch stuff ain't going to get it. Get you some auto-tune. It'll help you.
Take my emotion out of it. When you say auto-tone, do you say take the emotion out of it, the passion?
Well, it's not passion. There's a difference between emotion and passion.
Help me with that one, Ian. Help me with the difference between
Okay. Passion can be an emotion, but emotion is not passion. You can emote to go extraneously beyond a conditional response. Extraneously beyond a conditional response, or sometimes a repose. What that means is that sometimes it drives you to a new different place, a different feeling place. Getting your giddy up, sometimes that'll get you there, where otherwise it wouldn't sometimes. Well, that emotional response can drive you closer to a persnickety position. And so, when you're talking about passion, you're talking about an extenuation of a feeling place that you usher. And if your music does that to you and for you, grand, how wonderful. But if it takes that to get you there, then it may not be enough. That's the difference between the passion and emotion.
You're not using the phrase little man anymore?
There aren't any.
You used to use the phrase, so what I'm wondering is, are you changing your words?
No. You have evolved. We're only speaking to ascending.
You're the little guff now. We're the big men, and you're the little guff.
That's right. We've always wanted to be the puppy footstool.
The what?
Puppy footstool.
You're saying little man still exists.
No, they don't. They never have.
No, they don't.
But you didn't know.
What he's been saying all along is that you're God. That's what he's been saying all along, but we brought in this whole business of little man. They'd probably come in with the whole capitalization when we would go through stuff, what's capitalized, what's not. And it's not little man, it's just God. You're God, whether you're in your power or it's just the difference between you being God, but it's, the difference is you being in your power or being separated from your power. But you're still God either way.
How come more people recognize this now than 2 years ago, Ion?
Because you've come into a place where you're starting to notice the difference. You're starting to notice that you control how the world goes. You decide how it is. You make your world like you want it to be. And all of a sudden now, some people are absolutely living in fucking bliss today.
Those are the women and guys on the porn sites, right? They fuck all day long.
Whatever. It's a lot of work. It's easy to achieve. It's hard to maintain, you see.
But, that's a lot of work.
Not even, yeah, exactly. Not even to that, but not even to that end. It's not about that. It's that some people are absolutely living in paradise right here, right now. Their world is perfect. They live in what you call slack. Happily. Good. And we say wonderful, but they created that. They allowed it to be. Now, that's with all the suffering and all the poor people. And Jesus said the poor would always be with you. And there's always going to be trouble. And the gangbangers are going to shoot at each other at point-blank range. And they're going to not be able to hit each other. But some little girl in the project 2 rows over is going to catch a bullet in the brain 2 buildings over from the gangbangers that are point-blank missing each other. I mean, it's ridiculous. You choose to come in here, you choose to go out every single time without further exception. Now, you take that out of the equation that you choose to go. Now, if you choose to stay, you certainly may. You don't have to, but you may. Now, you have a new place where it's like, well, no, wait a second. Even if I am terminal, as it were, it feels better to say that I get to stay when I go. Because that's the only reason you ever go anyway. So inch by inch, you come back into a place where you start to reconcile your godship. Those lampstands actually start to mean something after a bit. And we're going to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, Brian, until you get it. And that's okay, because we're patient. And we're not even a doctor, but Dr. Dean is. So good luck for you. That's the case.
Well, that's good.
Yes.
As long as you're patient.
Now what happens is you have the first time catching up to your words, you actually have the persona, ability, or capacity to embrace that you are indeed eternal. We've been saying you're eternal since itch, before there was even a scratch. But you didn't hear that then. All you heard was this is a way to change you to another place. Something that seems more fun than where you were. Okay? There's nothing any better than where you are. Okay? But the change of that to want something, if you have it, you don't want it. So in this ascended place coming back, every clue you hid, every breadcrumb you laid, everything you did to point you back to this position that you're coming back to, period. And we'd say you're already there. But it's that damn labyrinth of your mind that, yes, needs healing. It needs to be struck thoroughly with a baseball bat to let the autonomics work. And so if you had to think about breathing, you'd all have suffocated yourself long ago.
But this feeling of the labyrinth, specifically the labyrinth, not the brain, because I've heard some say, yeah, it's the brain you want to heal, but it's not the brain. It's the labyrinth.
The conduit. The puff has that. There was days done on pipes and riser diagrams of how Stinky goes downhill and how that lays out in your mind. Everything that you've ever thought or will think is compartmentalized in the synaptic neuron transmitters that go through the hypothalamus of the lower vertical cortex of the stem of the brain that runs every bit of what you call cobalt programming that allows your brain to learn or to teach. And now what's happening is the chip body's taking that over for you, so you don't have to think anymore. You don't have to type anymore. You don't even have to learn cursive anymore. Not necessary anymore. Now the Lucky Box does that for you. The Android meme, which applies, you become chipped for the chip body. That is what allows you a larger capacity. You don't understand how computers work, but yet you embrace them. Now, once you embrace them, that's what a god does. You have no fucking clue what the cloud even is. But Bestel Goodman said that you're going to ride in them, and that's okay. Do you see? When the cloud of glory moves, if you can live with the cloud, then you can. Then you find out what it is. If you don't have to know what it is, you can go with it. Then what happens is all of a sudden when you're looking for a city, then you can find it. All this is it now makes you broader than you. Your computers, your chip body is finally smarter than you are. Thank God. You're welcome.
Your eye on the chip environment is the space that is allowing us. It's the large space when we're able to expand in.
No, but some people's large space is the size of a MacBook.
What do you mean by the body being smarter than you? Are you referring to
the smart ones have created a chip body that thinks better than you, so you now no longer have to think. We've said since this is not a thinking man's game. You guys have thought yourself into dissension. You have thought. You had a thought. You had a thought.
Hold on. Now, wait a minute. Have we thought ourselves into dissension, or have we been thinking ourselves into dissension, and is there a difference between...
Since there's no time, you thought you were thinking, or you were thinking your thought. But every thinking thought that's ever thought is still thinking. Or so you thought.
I really didn't get that phrase, but I've heard you define thought as... an impulse between, it comes from the physical, and it's an impulse that stimulates
the... Go back to rewrite and get a 45-minute conversation of Class Blue Perfect 10, and that'll explain it for you.
You have identified yourself as mid-thought.
We love this Stephen Hawking effect. It's very great. We can do it, too. It is so good to be able to have in a moment known to look for working and understand the microbiomics of how the world is operating in this new dynamic of a lesser than place that was bigger than it was before. That's way cool.
Hey, Ion, the great rejoice is in our midst.
Yay, we love it. Rejoice.
Here I am, my first live payday.
There you go, there you go. Well, not really, but feels that way, doesn't it?
Yep, yep. You were mentioning paradise, and here I am sitting in what I consider my piece of paradise in Genesee.
Yes.
Just to let you know that I'm holding the space for anyone who comes to Eden.
Yes.
One of the things that I do on a regular basis is what came from our friend James Martinez. I do pattern interrupt. Change my thinking.
You know he wasn't
helps
serious.
Me get out
we're
of
glad,
my mind.
But we're glad you're good at it. So
good. Yeah. Yes. If you're not good at it, you'll end up like James, pattern interrupting yourself. So watch out.
No, she's too focused anyhow. Listen, now, when you go out and get some new seals, the cupula, because you're fixing to open that up, and the seals aren't good, it's going to leak if you don't have that ready to go.
No. What leaked was the fireplace chase, the chimney chase, and I already had to tear that off and reseal everything. So leaks are
good,
all...
But no. What's coming is then the cupula, the windows and the top. You got to have a new seal for that. When you open it, that seal will be broken. Have one handy, then you can replace it. You'll do it yourself. No big deal. Pick one up so we can replace it. It's easy.
All righty.
Did the living quarter where she is called Genesee, was that someone naming it after the Bible, the way you pronounce Genesis as Genesee?
Well, that's what it is, it's Genesee. You don't pronounce it wrong when you call it Genesis.
But did the person who named where Joyce is, did they know the correct pronunciation?
Well, of course.
Okay.
How would we, Joyce, get there otherwise?
You cheated, Joyce. You went for the name. You went for the word.
No. She went for the valley. She didn't go for the name. She went for the valley.
And for the tree.
Indeed. And it has to endure the homeowners association despite it, but it's worth it.
Yes.
That's who you're pattern interrupting, I assume, the homeowners.
Yes.
Oh, how ridiculous. And their purple mailbox is the very idea.
Do they have purple mailboxes, Joyce?
No, we're being satirical for all the things that come up with that are so strange.
Anybody can have any type of mailbox you want, really, as long as, you know, the mail people say it's okay. So. No, it's just other. Now, roof. There's an issue about the color of your roof.
Yeah, of course. That's why we play in with this up and down. And then now everyone wants to be the same and differently. Differently the same. It's a bitch living in paradise, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And marvelously so. And so when we're so very thrilled and excited that your pennies have held tight, isn't it wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
And all is well.
Getting weller.
And getting weller, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You had a question. The ridiculous thing you were reading, trying to cipher through the other day, and you had a question that you actually wanted to ask, and kind of did, and we sent the answer when the phone would ring, funny, and you'd try to get it hooked up, and it wouldn't do right, and you thought it was something else. That was us. Anyway, do you want to ask that question now?
Is there more to be developed around the bonded angles within cells?
Good. How wonderful.
Ethers?
So polymerase, and that's how we'll say it, because it's going to change, so it'll be different, so it won't really matter. The way the cell will shift, it's going to change its operation system. Basically, let's say you've got somebody on the party line, and they're talking a certain way, and now you have a new technology that changes. You have to teach them now a new way to say the words. So in the cellular level, you're going to have to change your diagrams of how you lay things out. For example, once you get a perfect amino acid based on a lysine-based, we call it a tetrad, but it's really not. It's just a perfect amino acid and lysine. Once you apply that protein-based amino acid into a developed inhibitor, then you're going to find that the rings split. So when they split, then all of a sudden everything is based upon the lipid system of the body. So once that information is shifted, you're going to go, wait a second, we've been doing this all along. Just as why you changed from the party line in the first place. You marketing guru, you.
Especially since it was in telecom.
Of course.
I appreciate the examples that you used.
We're not as good as we once were, but we're as good once as we ever were.
Joyce, as we all become ascended, Ion's light goes out. Ion fades away. No longer relevant.
As he dimly slides into the recesses of the eternal abyss from which we came. When you move into the land that your grandchildren knew, all will be well.
We have another new person. We have Gina. You want to have your family sing a song, Gina? The one you did a month ago.
Hi.
This is a yoga hobo, Ion, an actual yoga hobo.
My mom died, I think, yesterday.
No, she didn't. No, she did.
What happened to her?
She just transitioned a bit.
Where is she?
It's not really that easy. This is a becoming thing. It's deciding which world to stay in or not. But it's not quite in this plane, but it's not in any other plane yet either. People talk about the in-between place, some of the what you call ridiculous mystics make up wordy words regarding it. But there is such an actual place of the in-between. It's not under, it's not over, it's between. A between place. And she's sort of hovering in that spot for this moment.
Did she consciously pick it?
No. It was a little bit of a taking a guess, and that's how it worked out. Right now.
Like Alzheimer's? Don't want to die, but don't want to live with
it. Kind of, but not so sadistic. This was just like a, no, wait. Oh, wait, hold on. And so, hold on. In a no-time space, it can cause this between. Your mother, presently, as of today, is between.
She's between.
She has not.
She
has not transitioned. Certainly, more so than you are conscious of you now. Now, this between place is not odd. It's just not something we go a great deal into because it just confuses the whole process of transitioning to the guff. Okay? She has not gone nor arrived to the guff. Now, Bob's had voluminous words regarding it, and he still doesn't have a clue what he's talking about, but that's okay. He's had a lot of wordy words about it. He's asked more than anyone else regarding it, trying to get the names have changed, but the players are all the same. But there is a condition called the response that allows for being between, and that's because there is no time. So the between can be. She is presently between, and if she decides, she'll end up in another world than this world, because now she's too poor to paint and too proud to whitewash. She wouldn't come back here.
I wouldn't think she would.
That's right. You're right.
She was in a lot of pain. She's not experiencing. She's not in her physical body anymore.
Boy, it's been an easy trigger. We didn't say anything about that. Her physical body is as physical as it ever was.
But she still is in pain.
No, darling. Pain is a good thing, but she's not in any pain. Zero pain. But pain's not bad. You don't talk about this, that she's released from this terrible pain. Honey, you can get neuropathy. There's lots of things worse than that. Check it out. This ravishing pain, you can take care of yourself. Move it around in your body. If you can move it around, you can move it to somebody else's house. Rejoice is the poster child for that. She'll get something hemmed up, going up pretty good. Next thing you know, she'll move it from her knee to her ankle, then her ankle to her other leg. Then next thing you know, she can send it to the bridge club. She ain't got it no more. She's moving on. There's another example, same way. But to answer your question, no, she is in zero pain, and all is well till she decides. She's just basically booking her trip. Maybe that's a nicer way to say it.
When you leave your physical body and you go to this other in-between place,
okay,
are there other souls? Not souls. I know you say there are no souls, but are, like, would my dad be there? Would anybody be there to greet her?
It's not about greeting. See, this is like
I was raised Catholic.
We're so
I know
sorry.
It's awful. It's
We're
awful.
Sorry. It's okay.
I'm not anymore, though.
The good news is there's deliverance for you. It's good. It's not a problem. It's gonna be all right. It's good path. At least you got the cup right. At least you got the Eucharist right. You sort of screw up intinction now and again, but we're going to show you how to do intinction the right way. Get you to the marriage supper of the Lamb, child, and ooh-wee, it's going to be wonderful. You're going to enjoy it thoroughly because you'll know all the doctrine that goes with the doctrine that goes with the backlash of why you don't spit back into the chalice. Oh, the Elisha cup. What great fun. So First Communion will mean something different now. You don't communicate or compare humans like the distance between a walker and a crawler. Oh, he's a crawler. He's just a crawler. He's sitting there, oh, he's a walker. He's a walker now. Now he's a walker. He's alive and he's dead. You don't handle children differently from the distance of when they crawl and when they walk, nor should you have any difference between when they're transitioned out of this body or not. It's just another phase, okay? Because you're as determined as you always are. So if you can say it that way, then all of a sudden, everybody that she wanted to be around and loved and wanted to be with and all that kind of stuff, she would be around. And then those that she couldn't stand to be 1 second with, she could slap crap out of them as good as she could anyway. So, yeah, you still have your preferences.
Even in the in-between world?
Yes, especially. Actually, it becomes more heightened because now you realize you can get on any train you want to. See, it takes all this responsibility of, oh, I've got to stay here for the girls. Oh, the girls. How long have you heard that crap? So it turns it around. Makes it softer.
Does she have anything to say to me?
Just to start an autonomous life. Begin, maybe for the very first time, an autonomous life.
You're right.
You wanted my pearl earrings, you should have asked for them.
She didn't have pearl earrings, she had diamond earrings.
You should have asked for them.
Because they're gone now, aren't they? My brother went to her house and he said all the jewelry's gone.
Ta-da!
Huh?
All the jewelry, yes.
I mean, I don't know if it is or not. I have yet to go up there, but my mother had lots and lots of jewelry, and he's gone.
Yeah. She took it with her. She has it.
She has it.
The message was, if you'd have wanted it, you should ask for it. You didn't.
Well, I'm not a jewelry person.
You shouldn't be surprised then, do you? In her world, if that was the way to eat, you could eat in any country, in any world, with the right jewelry. So a great value was attached to that. Now, maybe not so esoterically speaking, but she saw it that way, and so good for her. Baubles.
This is totally unrelated to my mother, but there is a spot in my hallway upstairs in my art studio of oil that is in the rug, and it's not seemingly coming from anywhere, and it's like this slick oil spot. What is it?
A residue from a portal. There's a portal there. And you get residue. It's a portal. Yeah.
Is there such a thing as haunted homes here?
If you are a god, which you are, and you're a creator, which you are, you can create anything under the sun. Everything that is that you're asking about can be. You've now set it into motion as is. So the obvious answer is sure. And that can serve you well.
So if I say there's a ghost.
Well, ghosts are relative. Sometimes ghosts are nothing other than stenographers saying, over here, over here, over here, over here, over here. Sometimes you confuse angels with ghosts. But yet you good old Catholic, you good old Maccabean one.
No,
You comb those scriptures and every nasty thing that God supposedly ever did on this earth, and an angel of the Lord came down and blah, 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 blah. So it's a real handy process. But there is a lot of energy around you. You're going to have a lot of activity. Always get used to it, get over it, or get out. But it's not a problem.
Yeah.
And if you move, it'll go with you. So you can run, but you can't hide.
Well, it's all very friendly.
Because you won't have it any other way. You can turn it nasty if you want to.
No, I don't want to. I like to live in peace.
Well, I know, but sometimes if it isn't rough, it isn't fun. So play with it.
The oil is the portal.
The oil is not a portal. The oil is a shadow of a portal that keeps what you call leaking through. It's seepage.
Seeping through from another world?
Yeah, from the other side of that portal. Hey, Bob, you hadn't had any leakage factor from other worlds yet. JJ told
well, I got
you
some
about
leaky.
That.
Do you
have a little post-coital drip, Bob? Is that what's up?
Yeah. I got something here. I got 31 people, callers. I assume many of you are on the RNA drops. Well, you can help someone make a decision. This very weekend, Matthew Hurtado has got himself tied up in deciding perhaps he will not distribute the RNA drops anymore. So maybe you guys could email him and tell him whether you want him to continue distributing it or that you require it. We're throwing it out to the public to help Matthew make a decision whether he wants to be the distributor anymore.
If he doesn't want to do it, I will.
That's probably a lot to you. Yeah. Nominate yourselves.
Gina.
And Gina's good. She makes good commercials. Just get her talented son on there. We sell millions with that son serenading everybody. Right, Gina?
Absolutely. My son is a very highly vibrant person.
Hey, he looks very handsome, very aware, very nice-looking kid. Not even a kid, probably. He's probably a fake adult or something.
Bob, it's Jenny, and I think that since you said earlier tonight that Greg was the most unaccomplished person, maybe this would be a good way for him to get some kudos. So we want to do it.
You'll vote to do it. Good. All right.
I vote for the unaccomplished ones, and Greg is wholly unaccomplished.
Hey, they're none of your business, Sasha. What about you?
You said we could vote, Sasha.
No, but I didn't say
vote. I said vote for Matthew, whether you encourage him to continue or not.
No, I vote for the unaccomplished ones.
Okay, but Matthew's making a decision. I don't know how much Sabrina's involved in it, and he is thinking whether he wants to be associated with us anymore or not. So I thought I'd just throw it out here. I didn't think of this till 5 minutes ago. Help him make this decision.
I made
or maybe
vote.
You don't. No, forget the voting, Sasha. Write to Matthew and tell him how much you appreciate or not appreciate how he's been doing with the drops and the other products he releases.
Okay.
So does he just feel bad and he needs some encouragement? I mean, I'll send him an email and encourage. I mean, what are you asking? Are you asking us to encourage Matthew? Because
I'm asking you to communicate with him. Ask him why he's thinking this way. What is his issue? Why is
I thought that you were asking everybody on this call to decide whether or not they should nominate
that
themselves.
That was the first statement, Sasha. We're always changing.
Well, I'm
I'll
sorry. You know, Bob, you know, Bobby.
You stopped at the first sentence. There's a lot more sentences coming, Sasha.
I know, but you know me, Bob. I'm really slow. It takes me a while to catch up. I'm
no, no, you're impetuous. You're impulsive. You decide very quickly. While watching TV
I would tell Matthew if he's got doubts, then hand it off to someone else.
Why is he thinking? No,
yeah, why does he care what we think?
No, he may not.
Well, if he's got doubts about it, then he should hand it off and give it to someone with fuller confidence.
Okay, he's got doubts. He's already left.
Well,
yeah,
you
don't
know,
tell
here's
me.
The thing. Let's just cut to the chase.
How much
of Matthew's job involves dealing with you, Bob?
None. That's part of, I think
you
he feels lonely.
He
resents me
to,
not paying any attention to him. I never talk to him about his work.
Really?
Yeah, I keep my hands off. I let everybody else be the autonomic membrane to do it. I go to the beach.
Oh, okay.
The reason I said what I said was because I listened to Matthew's sessions with Ion, and for Matthew, it was always about the Benjamins, which I don't think is a good orientation for the RNA drops. So if he's got doubts, that's fine. Let him hand it off.
You communicate that to him. That's your puny opinion.
Oh,
very insignificant.
Why is it puny?
Because you're saying it to me, which, you know, liquidates it. Don't tell me
I don't really care what Matthew does one way or the other. I'm just
well, there you go.
Observing.
Now you're being violent. Now you start communicating violence that you don't care. You are your...
Oh, God.
You are a god, and you should not address us. Address the other god, Matthew.
I wouldn't care one way or the other.
And yet you're hogging the conversation, so since you're not involved, you just take a back seat for a minute.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Don't take it personally.
Okay, Bob,
yes,
so seriously, what you're saying is that you would like us to communicate with Matthew and find out
what he's up to, or just whatever, but send Matthew.
He'll be shocked that I revealed this. Maybe I shouldn't have. I just thought I'd do it, and I'm getting a high five from Carolyn, so far I'm okay. I haven't heard from Ion yet. I might be smoted. I'm just throwing it out there to be part of his decision-making. Have you guys be part of you're his audience. You're the people who require this stuff. If he stops, then you're not going to get any stuff.
I'm not on the stuff. I don't take the drops.
You're irrelevant. You're not even in this. You don't even take the drops.
Mute that.
I did. It's not like I didn't. I did.
John, you are fucking incredible. You are a god, John. You managed to find a reason to utter your words no matter what's being said. Okay, what'd you say, Judy?
You're saying what? We won't get the drops at all if Matthew doesn't send them?
Yes, Matthew's the one who distributes them, and if he stops, it's going to take a while to get them redistributed, won't it, Carolyn? Take a while to reset it up?
Yeah.
And Carolyn's concerned because there are people whose lives depend on this stuff.
Public service announcement, anybody that's low on drops right now, I would say, order today.
No,
order now, rnadrops.com. Order in bulk. There's going to be a frenzy.
Now, Bob, you're the guy that brought this up. Gimmick.
Yes, I brought it up. It's a sales gimmick. This is a sales one.
You want your RNA, too, so what would you do?
I don't even do the RNA drops. It's a total myth that I do 100 things. Why would I do that shit? I'm ascended. I got ion.
Oh, God, you're hilarious.
This is really wanged out of place.
Makes it interesting, John. You're having a good Saturday night.
Yeah, it does.
Matthew should call in.
Yeah, the past couple of weeks, we've been having people say things like, well, what if they shut you down? You know, I've heard that several times.
The FDA is going
to
shut
down. Yeah, and instead of that, Matthew decides to shut us down. It had to happen, I guess, because everybody kept asking about it. All the gods created it with their words.
Bob, maybe now
thank
it's time
you.
To play that archive from 2010.
Correction, it happened March 17th. It wasn't 2010. It just came out a few days ago, what I'm going to play eventually. But we have Ion here. So, Ion, you can jump in if you want to say anything about it or move it on to another topic. I don't want to take the attention off of your wonderful treasury of wisdom you're presenting here.
There's a treasury?
No, there's no treasury. You fell for it. Do not identify with my words as you hear them, Ion.
You know, I will say this. I mean, now, because I'm just thinking, I just volunteered, Greg, to do all the shipping.
Yay, Greg. Greg for president. Greg for president.
Oh, my God, what did I just do? Because I am a god. I do have powerful words. But when I did the Radio Free Ion product giveaway, and I did all the shipping and everything for all the gifts that were sent around the world, I mean, literally to New Zealand and everything, I gained a tremendous appreciation for what Matthew and Sabrina do, because it was very demanding to put all those packages together, and to, especially when you ship this international stuff and these criteria for all this, it's really pretty intense. So I would say, if I have been remiss in any way and not communicating my appreciation properly, I will go on record as saying I totally appreciate what they do. But I don't know, maybe they get a lot of blowback from, you know, the public and stuff. I don't know. But, I mean, we could do it, but it is a lot of work, and I don't think that should be taken lightly.
Well, what's this problem, Bob?
Well, that's personal.
Madeline.
I don't know what his problem is. Yeah. What is it? What is Madeline? She's Ruth's. She's a psychologist. Got to know the particulars. I don't know the particulars.
Well, because our appreciation, it may well be irrelevant.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He got fed up with Carolyn. You know, he got frightened of Carolyn. Look, she laughs as if.
Well, I mean, what I'm worried about is I've got people on Remag instead of ID Magnesium. If they can't get their Remag, they could fall over dead. And whose fault is that going to be?
Do they have any managers or any management level, or are they doing it all? Are they managing the whole company themselves?
Yeah. And they have staff that do all the work.
they can have staff that manages the staff, and they can manage the managers. That would ease
pressure. Okay, let's not dwell on this. You guys think about it. Think about it. We don't need to keep opinionating. Let's go back to Ion.
Ion, my cat, is there something I could be doing for her? She cries a lot at night and has issues.
So do you.
So do you, Madeline.
No, that's great. I wondered if that was the deal, actually.
The cat, the beast, is mirroring you.
That's what I have been assuming for a while.
So change what you're calling your place of joy, and you'll see your beast will respond in kind.
Okay.
Get happier. And then you don't need a box full of cat crap to tell you that.
I feel like I have been getting happier.
Yes, you have, but you're asking the question, and that's what you're noticing.
Yeah.
And your pussy's noticing it as well.
Madeline, you know Ian says it all the time. Your pet is your non-physical.
I know. Okay, I got it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right, and that's all that was just saying, hey, come on, where's your joy? Come on, you're bumming me out. Way, you're bumming me out. Way. Okay, you want to play it like this, I'll bum you out. Way.
Oh.
So, and that cat loves you more than you'll ever love you. And it's good.
I'll ask one question.
Prior to putting a website, should I proceed with it?
Do you want to?
Yes, I would like to put a website about RNA drops and iron.
And your question is?
Would it be good to proceed with that website?
You could. It'll be all right if you want to.
I'm thinking about the beneficial side of that.
You mean money, right, Mr. Croatia?
Not money.
Okay, good, because it won't work that way. You don't want to do it for money.
No.
Promote me.
No, fuck you. I will.
You were helping him define it.
No. So, Bob, I had to go and pick Holly up from a movie. She went to see a movie called Divergent. Have you heard of it?
Divergence, I haven't heard it, no.
Anyways, she got in the car and she was just like, Mom, wow, that was the most amazing movie ever. And I was like, why? And she was like, Mom, it's like Hunger Games, but it's way better. And I was like, why? And she was like, okay, there are all of these different worlds. So there are these different, like, people that are in these different worlds. And then there's, like, peacekeeper people. And then there are these people that are, like, the warrior kind of people that would challenge authority. And they would, like, jump off buildings. And then they had all of these different sort of classes, I guess, of people. And she said, and so when you go to the shops, you know, like how you go to the shops right now, you could talk to somebody. It's not like that in that place. It's totally different. You just don't talk to anybody. And then she's like, when you're born into a certain type of people. You're born as a peacekeeper, or you're born as one thing or another thing. And then when you're 16 or 17 years old, you have to take this test. And then you can decide, you take the test, and then the test result will come out, and they'll say you're either a peacekeeper person, or you're like a lawkeeper, or you're whatever. But then she's like, but then there are some people, and it's really, really, really rare. There's only like very, very few people that are divergent, and they're one of each naturally.
They're quadrupedic.
Yeah, totally. And I was just like, really? She's like, yeah. She's like, you'll love this movie. And I was trying to get into, like, interview with her, but she lost it.
Could you comment on that movie, Ion?
It's fun. It shows you how you can come back into a place to figure out where you were that might be where you could be if you were, if you could, if you didn't know that you didn't know that you know. But Dr. Dean is right. The book is much more prolific.
The way that they classify people in that way, do you think that there's usefulness in being able to look at yourself from your own personality, the way that you move through the world, the way that you are with people? Is there usefulness in that?
You do that naturally. So there's not extra usefulness. But see, you're gazing from even from your mirror to look at yourself. That's the old you.
That's the old you?
Yeah, that's history in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. But
there's not a but. There's not a but. That's always past tense. So if you're asking, is there benefit to looking in your past to see how you are? Oh, that's past. Mm-hmm. So maybe not so much. But if you're talking about strictly quadrophenia, then okay, that's always fun.
Okay. There seems to be usefulness from the position of a starting point.
There is no starting point. That's the false premise. That's the problem. There's not a place where you can go to start. You're as eternal as you have always been and as you always will be. So that being said, there is no usefulness of finding a predicated point to say from here we began. Here we were a walker and now we're a crawler. Oh, wait, no, it's the other way around. No, is it? Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying if we don't fuss ourselves about the beginning and consequently the end, it's going to be a lot more peaceful, a lot more accurate?
Oh, it's going to be so much more fun because you don't have to worry about where you are in the loop of it. You don't get on the merry-go-round and say, okay, this is where we started. And arrive based on where we started here. Now, we're going to look at this very closely. We're going to study. We're going to adjust the ride. And you're going to go around the circle. Okay, well, here we are again. That's the beginning point. It's where we started this ride. And then here we are again. It's not like that. You go around and around and you enjoy the ride. But you don't note. There's a brass ring that you try to reach for that you miss. And there's a couple of those around there as you go, but you can get a brass ring if you can reach it, get to it. But that's not even a marketplace. That's just where you tried. And you failed more times than you got it.
That certainly fits with eternity.
Of course.
I guess, well, me as a human.
I'm sorry for your luck.
Well, okay. I say I had a beginning when I read my birth certificate.
No, we're sorry.
And now it's a piece of paper. Okay. So if you summed it up that your beginning was a piece of paper, don't worry. It'll be over for you soon.
Piece of paper refers to...
What would be a piece of paper if you're no longer here?
No, the piece of paper refers to an actual event where I crawled out of my mother's womb.
Really?
Mm.
How intriguing.
Well, so I was told by my parents. Maybe I shouldn't believe that.
Told by those MKUltra guys.
So the beginning of your very existence now becomes the historical marker given to you by someone else? You were so cognitively aware of your beginning that you're not even aware of it?
Apparently.
How very Dave Worcester-ish of you.
I get what you're saying, but what I'm trying to say is from a, like, the way that this movie is being broadcast to, quote, the nations, is there some kind of usefulness for the little man to be able to identify a, quote-unquote, starting point for them to be able to see something?
They never see anything. Obviously, it's their limitations where they had to have a starting place.
But isn't there something in seeing the limitation if you can see the place?
You never reinforce good behavior with bad behavior to change your behavior. You never reinforce good behavior with bad behavior to get a conditional improvement. Practice does not make perfect, my dear. Perfect practice makes perfect. You don't tell counterfeit money by giving the banker imitation money. You give them real money, good money, and then once they get good with real money, they will spot the fake, the imitation, the counterfeit instantly.
What I'm trying to say is, like, when I first came and I first had my very first session with you, and I listened to that person, I don't recognize that anymore.
You don't have cords running around all over the place anymore.
Yeah, but I don't recognize that. I don't, the way that I thought, like even I went up on a trip for a couple of days up to a little island. I was like, I'm going to do some art. And I took a sketchbook that I had from fucking years ago. And I looked at it and it was just
who'd
like,
you fuck?
Oh
who
my...
were you fucking with when you had the book? You said you
John?
Years ago. Who were you fucking with?
My
ex-husband.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't really about that. It was like, you know, like the things I was drawing were like the you know, typical me back old-timey me. I want to save the world, and there's so much pain in the world, and I just wanted to recognize it and acknowledge it. And I looked at it, and I was just grossed out by it. I was just like, oh, this is horrible. And but I could see, I could still see where I was.
Welcome to our impression.
I agree with your impression. I totally do.
But you didn't then.
Of course not. But that's what I'm trying to say is.
It was winter time then.
No, it was before that.
I know, but then you go back to there too. It's like, okay, yeah. It was after your ascension, eh?
Well, I don't even think that there's, yeah, I mean, there's certainly been.
Well, but see, from hindsight,
kind of,
looking at your hindsight now. See, so it's not a bad thing. It was fine. Still is.
I'm not saying that there's a bad thing, but in terms of whatever you stick a peg in the ground and say, I am that, which is what a lot of people do, is there some usefulness in being able to have that pointed out to say, you know, like, hey, you know what? You're not that.
No, there is no use. Bob sometimes is an asshole, but to point it out just makes him more of an asshole. Don't point it out.
Yeah, don't point it out.
Okay.
Because then you support.
Carl is cracking up in the background.
And if you keep going, and after a while, you're going to make him a whole ass.
Right. We don't need that.
Right,
there's benefit.
Why don't you guys start talking like Sasha and get in there?
We're not talking about me. I'm talking about this idea about people.
That's a great alibi. Try that, other people. This
no,
is not a question about me.
It's not. It's about this sort of tribalistic mentality that is kind
order.
Of, yeah,
the
exactly, that is being, yeah, the outer kingdom that is being pointed out.
Oh, that's the old school. Well, we're going in and out our middle kingdom.
That's the kind of stuff that I want to get into now, because I want to go back to
old school. Go for it.
I want to go back to old school. I totally want to go back to old school.
New school.
Let's go back to old school.
You can't go back. There's no back. There's no direction. Back to Bob. Back to me.
No.
Thank God. That's not Bob. God.
That's God, not Bob.
Back to me.